live at AsylumFantasySports.com. It's the Inside Slants.
We are Fligger and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum. And drop us your lineup questions at AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com.
On Twitter, we'll answer them right up till game time. I am manning the Twitter machine, Rick, at Asylum Football.
You're manning it all by yourself.
The Twitter machine. Awesome. I have it right here.
You can check us out on Facebook. You can go to Facebook.com/AsylumFootball. And, you know, our Thursday shows are on at the AFRN, the Armed Forces Radio Network Worldwide.
Yes, give them a follow at the AFRN on Twitter. We're also being heard live this morning on the Real Fan Sports Network. Check that out, rfsportsradio.com. All right, Rick, week 13, three games in the book, probably your last week before your last chance to back into the playoffs. If you're me or you, you've got everything wrapped up, at least in that one league we're in. So pretty big week for everybody here.
Yeah, it sure is. Like you said, most leagues is probably the last week. Some leagues go 14 games and go to the complete NFL schedule. But either way, it's getting down to rug-cutting time. And if you don't have your division clinched – and you're backing into playoff, you're playing the spoiler. There's a lot of implications. And look, we already got three games under our belt.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we'll jump into those early. Just a couple early headlines before we get to that. Rick, looks like Percy Harvin's going to be out. That hip is flared back up. So unfortunately, anybody thought he was going to be the savior. He's one of those Andre Brown, Shane Vereen type guys you've stashed at the end of your bench. I don't think that's worked out for you too well. Did nothing last week, missed another game here. I'm not sure Percy Harvin's going to be the answer for you.
No, but I actually think that Golden Tate's stock is steadily, you know, I mean, you're going to get dividends with him. They have to rely on him. I mean, it's not all beast mode, even though sometimes it looks that way. And, you know, they got a pretty good core receivers without Harvin even.
Yeah, Golden Tate, he's hard to trust in a flex spot. Certainly I like Golden Tate as a low-end play. I mean, he's not a top. I don't.
Right.
He might be a top 24 guy depending on the matchup each week, but definitely something to keep an eye on there. Probably better than average, I'll give him that. Adrian Peterson, problem with that groin, Rick, you know that's not going to slow him down. Zach Stacy cleared for contact after his concussion. He's probable and should play. Jordan Reed, another game-time decision. That concussion for him must be something. That's a trade that crushed my soul. I made a trade, and doesn't look good for me getting Mr. Reed back in the lineup today.
And that made my soul smile when I saw you make that deal.
Your soul smile.
Oh, my, yes. But anyway, we have a question in the chat room, and it's directed directly at you.
Directly at me? Oh, yes. I have a feeling I know where this is going.
It's a quarterback question.
I bet it is. Okay. I wonder from whom this could be coming.
Who do I start?
Okay.
Geno Smith or bag of flour with a helmet drawn on it?
I go with a bag of flour.
Now, is the brand necessary?
I don't know. It could be whatever that. What's that like? Ghetto groceries, Aldi's or something like that. Do they have those around the country, or is that just here? But whatever the ghetto store brand is, I'll go ahead and take that bag of flour over Geno Smith. I've learned that lesson. I'm glad you. I'm sure this isn't the last time I'm going to hear about it this episode, and deservedly so. That's fine. But yeah, I'll take the bag of flour. The ghetto Aldi's brand flour.
And for any of you that may have missed that, he...
shame on you, by the way.
Well, yeah, shame on you, obviously. But Fligger put himself on Geno Smith Island by being the only person between myself, Scott Fish, the machine, three intelligent minds, and himself, recommending him for a start 2 weeks in a row. And I believe his total points were... total points, ladies and gentlemen, is, I think, three.
Three. All right. Well, we got out of the negative, so I got that going for me, right? So
give me
a little bit of credit there. Last thing I have, Rick, Brandon Jacobs going to be out with a knee. That's not big news for your fantasy team, but it is big news for Andre Brown owners. May not be losing those goal line touches.
Goal line carries.
And I love Brown's matchup as it is, and we'll get into that later in the show, I'm certain. Get him in your lineup. Now he's going to get those goal line touches. Could be a huge game for Andre Brown.
Yeah, very well could be. They've got a great matchup, as you mentioned, against the Skins. So Andre Brown is on the rise in my book.
No question about it. So, Rick, I don't know, do you have anything else there? We want to jump right into Thursday's games.
Yeah, let's jump into Thursday's games. I mean, I've got some stories. We could cover stories. Or the
all right,
games,
throw one out there. We got time. It's a long morning.
We all know of Browner's drug suspension, of course. So we won't get into that. But, you know, just furthering, I guess, the implications, you could say, in a story posted by Florio. Golden Tate says that, you know, Browner and Walter Thurman are being selfish.
I agree.
Well, obviously, but it's being recognized.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
And that's, you know, you can take it for what it's worth. Look, they're looking, they're in a good position, but, you know, they're in a tough division. Their schedule is not the lightest in the world, that's for sure. You get a little bit of that controversy and things start happening, not to mention you've already lost two players.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you got ill feelings.
And there seems to have been a lot of this stuff. Pete Carroll's come in and made that team a winner. I think you argue Russell Wilson's done more to make that team a winner than Pete Carroll. But he's turned it around. But it's sort of, does it smell like USC a little bit? Where's he go to hide now? He had the NCAA coming down on him at USC, and he went and hid in the NFL. Is he going to have to go to Canada now like you did in the 60s for Vietnam for the draft? Is he going to have to go up there and hide? I wonder, but it seems, I say this a lot, lack of institutional control, and you wonder, could this tear a locker room apart? That, here's my thing, I'm not naive enough to think that this doesn't go on in every NFL locker room. I mean, Dwayne Bowe was just arrested for marijuana. I think this is the culture. I think this is what goes on. I don't know, they never said what Browner was arrested for. They just said his wasn't, or I don't even think he was arrested. He just failed the drug test, but they said it wasn't PEDs. I don't know what it is with him. However, is it common and it's just coming to light because these guys keep getting popped? Is there an issue in that Seattle locker room? But you're right, a team that's rolling, they've got that division all but wrapped up, looking strong going into the playoffs. You have to wonder, does this sort of bond who's left in the locker room together? Does this tear a locker room apart? It's an interesting point.
Yeah, I mean, it could galvanize them, but you just never know. I don't know. I just think that was a little nugget there. But I think one that's even more humorous is the situation in Washington. And, of course, we know about, you know, the little instability going on where Griffin didn't seem to want to take responsibility for, you know, for losing the game the other week, you know, saying nobody got open and so forth. And, you know, some players took issue to that sort of a comment. And I think we covered that on Tuesday's show. Well, Donovan McNabb has has to analyze this.
He will never go away, will he?
And I'm not saying the guy's wrong. I mean, he was there for a year, take it as it may, as being there for a year.
Really bad relationship with Shanahan.
Exactly.
Let's factor that into anything. Before you say this, I'm just going to have that in the back of my head. Hates Mike Shanahan.
Right. And so, but the thing is, it's not like the stories coming out of there were really about Shanahan blaming Griffin.
True.
And it was more or less Griffin's comments. Some of the players didn't take kindly to it. McNabb comes out and says, Shanahan won't take the blame, so Griffin is the scapegoat. It's true.
Right.
That's really not what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like he's throwing darts because he really wants to get Shanahan.
He hates Mike Shanahan.
Oh, there's no question about that. You know, there's a scapegoat, and I'm quoting him, there's a scapegoat in every situation, and who's the scapegoat? Robert Griffin, McNabb says on CSNWashington.com. And then it comes back to Donovan McNabb, which I always find humorous. He treated me the same way, you know, so I just get a kick out of McNabb always trying to vindicate himself.
Yeah, and it is, and I'll tell you what, in this case, though, I don't know that I necessarily disagree. I wonder,
exactly.
Do you think Mike Shanahan survives this year? Hey, look, I know they were trying to make a playoff run. He misused RG3 last year. RG3 was all beat up. Now, I don't know how much of that. I'm not in an NFL locker room. I don't know how much of that is the player's decision where he says, I can go. Because I got to assume most times these guys are going to say, I'm going to go. If they can stand up, they're going to go. But Shanahan just abused and abused him all year, and now you're seeing the repercussions of it this year. And while Mike Shanahan doesn't seem to say a whole lot, his junior, little Kyle, he's got plenty to say, and he was flapping at the gums all week this week about RG3. And Donovan McNabb, you know, he became easy to make fun of because he was willing to get in front of the cameras and just cry like a girl
right.
That entire season. But Shanahan didn't cut him any break. I wonder if Shanahan survives all this. You invest, they trade up, they invest all that money in RG3. He uses them, abuses them. Now, I think we've talked about it two or three straight weeks. As much physically, I think there's something in his head. There's something that going on in that kid's head. And Mike Shanahan ain't the guy to fix that and to help that. So I wonder, as quick as Dan Snyder, I know Dan Snyder idolizes Mike Shanahan, and that's why he survived this long. Dan Snyder pretty quick to change coaches, and I think this might be the swan song for one Mr. Shanahan.
I agree there, but let's get to the chat room. We've got some questions flying
Geno
in here.
Geno Smith questions?
No.
Oh, good.
They're real ones.
are you saying that other question was planned? Is that what you're telling? It was ruse?
No. Oh, no.
A clever ruse? Is that what it was?
Non-PPR.
Oh.
Stacy or MJD?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. Stacy or MJD? I just trust Stacy's got that bad matchup against the Niners. Who's MJD play, Rick? I got to get the schedule up here. I'm
Jacksonville is at home. I don't know if they are at home. No, I think they're in Cleveland, but they're playing the Browns.
Cleveland. I think it's MJD, Rick. Stacy coming off that concussion. San Francisco, not as tough as we thought they were going into the year, but just based on matchup, Cleveland's been getting gouged lately. I'm going to go MJD, but it's close.
I agree. I San Francisco's still a pretty stout run defense, and MJD is healthy. Jacksonville's scrappy little bunch.
They're not willing to go. They're willing to play the spoiler.
And he's actually has proven against some of the tougher defenses that he can get in the end zone.
Yeah, he'll find the end zone.
Yes,
anyway.
I like MJD against Cleveland. You know, Scott made a good point. I don't know if it was last week's show or the week before, but, you know, Cleveland's had some couple of real solid games that actually makes them look a little better than what they are.
Yeah,
I believe.
That's true.
But, you know, I think MJD is. Let's go to another one here. We have, I need three in PPR.
Okay.
Adrian Peterson, that's one.
Yeah, that's easy.
Okay, Gio Bernard.
Okay.
Danny Woodhead, Andre Brown, Shane Vereen.
Wow.
And I tell you what, in a PPR, certainly, to me, Peterson is unbenchable.
And to me, Andre Brown's unbenchable.
I think, with Jacobs out, I think Andre Brown is your number two guy. Now that brings it to Bernard and Woodhead and Vereen. I tell you what, after seeing Woodhead just last week, it's not as easy as I thought it might be.
Yeah, can he back that up, though? You want it's the touchdown.
The kid's
putting
together solid.
You're right.
Season. But I
think
I feel like Bernard.
Yeah, Bernard? See, it comes down to Woodhead Vereen for me, honestly. I mean, Vereen, 6-7 catches a game. But that's all he does. Give me a guy who's going to get some rushes. So I'm gonna lean Bernard with you, Rick. I think he's going to have the most touches out of those two.
Well, I just think with the matchup against that San Diego defense on top of
that. That's true. I don't like counting on the PPR. Now, Woodhead getting more carries than I thought he would as the season wears on here, which what makes him interesting. Vereen, you're counting 100% on the receptions. While I'm comfortable he's going to get them, I don't like him. In my running back position, I don't like counting on those catches 100%. I'm going to agree. So let's go Adrian Peterson, Andre Brown, and Gio Bernard. A consensus here on the asylum.
There you go. All right. I think we are caught up.
All right. Finally caught up. Let's talk about Thursday, Rick. Some interesting games, some not so interesting games. If I'd have told you at the beginning of the year the final would have been Lions 40, Packers 10, what would you have said to me?
I said, I don't think you're correct.
I don't think you'd have been that polite, but I appreciate the sentiment. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers missing has finally caught up with the Packers. That offense was just anemic. Here, look at the stats. I don't know. There's not even a lot to talk about here. Reggie Bush, 117 yards and a touch. Calvin Johnson, sort of pedestrian for him. It said this is like a letdown for him. You have 6 for 101 and a touch. Now, the big one that come out of this for me and may cost me a playoff spot in one league, Rick, Eddie Lacy, 10 carries, 16 yards. Where did this run defense come from the Lions?
Well, I don't know. Green Bay just did not look to be on track at all. You know, Flynn was just not looking good. And
are we finally done with Matt Flynn coming into your town and being the savior every time your quarterback gets nicked up?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, and you can't hardly blame them for pulling him in. You know, he is familiar with the whole system and so forth. Probably trying to salvage the next couple of games until Rodgers comes back, but it just didn't seem to pan out. Detroit's putting it in high gear. And once they fell behind, I mean, look, they were ahead, I think, 10-7 at one point.
Yeah.
And but they just couldn't get anything going. And Reggie Bush ran all over them. Joint Bell was running all over them. Calvin Johnson was destroying their defense. So, hey, they didn't really just didn't have a chance that game.
Just a letdown. They just shut it down. All right, Rick, we've got a call on the line. Area code 860. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's up?
Not much. How's it going?
Okay. Hey, I want to backpedal a little bit. I heard you guys talking about the Cleveland Browns. I'm in three leagues. I'm in the playoffs in two of them, and I'm in a situation today. It's like a must-win, and I got the Seahawks defense, but I don't want to play them against Drew Brees. So I snagged the Browns. I was going to play the Browns against the Jags. What do you guys think? Miami's still out there. Who would you go with, the Browns or the Dolphins against Geno Smith?
Well, boy, that's a good one there. Okay, you got Miami playing the Jets. Certainly not the most potent offense in the world, that's for sure.
But I think the Jets are going to be able to run the ball on Miami.
Yeah.
It's going to be the issue there.
Same with Jack. You know, Jacksonville, well, I tell you what, that is a good – it's almost hard to bench Seattle, but I can see your point in a must-win situation. You're trying to pull out all the stops and make sure you get that win, and you're going against New Orleans certainly doesn't – you know, instill you with confidence. I don't think Cleveland against Jacksonville is a bad move, to be honest with you.
No, I think if you're in a must-win, if this was week nine, I'd tell you just go ahead and ride Seattle. When you're in a must-win, you need every point you can get. I can see Joe Hayden coming up with a couple of picks. You know Jacksonville's not going to go into Cleveland and put up 30 on them. I think Seattle can slow down Drew Brees, and I think Drew Brees throws a couple of picks in this game, but I can't promise you that. I like the move in a must-win, in a desperation mode. Why not? And how often do you get to play the Browns on defense? Let's do it one time and have a little fun.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, another thing about that matchup, guys, like you said, I need to squeeze every last point I can. I got Garrett Hartley as a kicker. I know you don't want to talk kickers, but – he kind of scares me being outside in Seattle. There's a bunch of dudes on the waiver wire. I was thinking maybe Blair Walsh. I know we don't like to talk kickers, but.
Yeah, I agree, and I'll tell you what. I've had this situation. I dropped Garrett Hartley in two leagues, actually, this morning for the same reason. The weather's going to be rotten there in Seattle. He hasn't been that good lately. You know, my theory is always just find a kicker on a good offense and play him. Garrett Hartley has missed some kicks, and he could kill you there. You know, try to find a good weather situation. You know, maybe Vinatieri's still out there in Indianapolis, Blair Walsh in Minnesota, somebody indoors. You don't want to risk a missed kick. While it's always a possibility, Hartley's been iffy and that rotten weather in Seattle. I agree with you. I go ahead. I don't know who to recommend. Just find somebody in some decent weather. But I agree. Hartley isn't a guy I'm going to trust when one point can mean everything.
Here's just one thing to consider. You brought up Blair Walsh in – little bell went off my head, which just for this, I mean, they go off all the time. But anyway, the Bears give up, they're dead last. They give up 145 yards a game rushing. They're playing Adrian Peterson. I got a feeling Minnesota is going to move the ball. Whether or not they score in the red zone, that may be a benefit to you. I mean, there certainly could be potential for a lot of kicking opportunities for Walsh.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Peterson's going to run all over him, and then they're going to stall out in the red zone.
It's very possible, or they may actually convert, but you're still – at least he's going to get opportunities to score you some points, I think.
Cool. Hey, can I ask you one more question, guys?
Okay.
Last week, you know, the Seahawks were on a bye, so I didn't have a quarterback because I have Russell Wilson. So I sold the farm. You think this was a bad trade? I had to get a quarterback, so I traded this dude, Russell Wilson and LeSean McCoy, for Drew Brees and Rashad Jennings. But he got me the victory last week. But now I'm stuck with Brees for the rest of the year.
Well, I don't think that's the worst part of the trade for you. I mean, I wouldn't mind having Drew Brees as my quarterback, but I really think you downgrade your running back situation. And when you get rid of the NFL league leader and
I know.
Supplant him with Rashard Jennings, who actually got dinged up in that game. And, of course, McFadden is still the guy once he does get healthy. And, of course, that's a big if. But, you got
I still got Reggie Bush and Andre Brown and Giovanni Bernard in that deal.
Yeah, and I think with knowing that, you hate giving up McCoy, I agree, but Drew Brees, obviously a big upgrade from Russell Wilson. Again, you're counting on Russell Wilson on those rushing yards. He really hasn't put up a big statistical passing game. So if you have the running backs to support it, which it sounds like you did,
yeah.
I don't hate it. Like Rick said, you got the win, so apparently it worked, and I think you're probably still sitting in good shape this week.
And especially if this is like a redraft league, I mean, I think you're fine. If you're not worried about keepers like Russell Wilson certainly would have been a nice keeper if it was that sort of a format. But if it's just a straight redraft, you're fine.
Yeah, but I see Breeze's schedule. He's got like some – he doesn't have a very good playoff-friendly matchup. I think he's got the Panthers and I don't know. But anyways, guys, thanks a lot for the help.
All right. Good luck this
good
week.
Luck.
Good to hear from you. All right, Rick, jump back into the Thursday game. Wow, 20 after already. This show is fly. I love this time of year, and it's true. You know, you never want to talk kickers. You never want to talk defense. This is the time of year it matters, and you
sure
need to
does.
Pay attention to that. You're coming
yeah.
down 2 or 3 points could be the difference in hundreds, if not thousands of dollars in some
and
leagues.
And we go to –
and that Garrett Hartley's a good – that's funny. It's almost like he was a plant like your Geno Smith plant. I dropped Garrett Hartley in 2 leagues before I came up to the studio here this morning thinking that same thing.
Right.
I need these wins, so it's something. You do. You don't look at kickers all year, but this year that gets really magnified. And as a guy who's playing against Justin Tucker in a league I need a win, I can tell you the kickers get real darn relevant about this time of year.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Okay, let's go to another one here. Cincinnati defense at San Diego or Cleveland versus Jacksonville?
I have Cleveland versus Jacksonville. I think San Diego, Phillip Rivers is on a roll. Woodhead, even Ryan Matthews putting up some numbers. I don't want any part of going up. That could be a shootout there. Cincinnati,
it could be a
San
shootout,
Diego.
And seeing what the amount of points that San Diego put up against Kansas City, I don't know if this scoring has any sort of penalties for giving up total yards, total points. They could go off and you could get into the negatives
yeah,
there if you didn't watch yourself.
Real easily.
Okay, pick PPR.
All right.
Pick two.
Pick two in PPR. Pick a pickled peppers.
Yes, Jordan Cameron versus Jacksonville.
Okay.
Harry Douglas versus Buffalo.
Okay.
Michael Floyd versus Philadelphia.
Solid so far.
Elshon Jeffrey versus Minnesota.
Oh, he's killing me here. Okay.
Cordell Patterson versus Chicago.
All right, finally one I can cross off. Okay. So I only get two here, right?
Only two.
It's Harry Douglas and Alshon Jeffrey for me. I think it's close. I like Cameron, but he's sort of gone away. I wonder with
Whedon
coming back. I don't know why I blanked on that. With Brandon Whedon coming back.
I do.
Because he stinks. But Jordan Cameron, that's where he's had his success. But Harry Douglas, guy's going to have 7 or 8 catches, and he could go for 160 yards. He's not going to get in the end zone. That's what I found out. We're going to get into this later in our starts and sits. Floyd, interesting to me. I don't trust that they keep that rolling the way they have. Carson Palmer hasn't strung it together over the long term like that. Alshon Jeffrey, between him and Brandon Marshall, still the top receiving tandem in the NFL. I just trust him more. So it's Harry Douglas and Alshon Jeffrey for me.
All right, I'm going to differ from you because I do not like that Philadelphia defense stopping a whole lot of people. And I like Floyd going against them as opposed to Douglas against Buffalo, who's actually – not too awful bad against a pass, you know, at least in the middle of the pack. And certainly Jeffrey. You know, I'm agreeing there. I'd have to go Jeffrey and Floyd, but it's very close with Harry Douglas. I don't really want any part of Jordan Cameron. I actually got into a conversation with somebody on Twitter yesterday asking about Cameron.
At Asylum Football on Twitter.
Yes, right? Indeed. Asking about Jordan Cameron or Delanie Walker. And the last 3 games combined, Jordan Cameron has 65 yards. We're getting to the time of the season, just when we're talking with the last caller, you know, points are a premium. Yeah, right now, Delanie Walker's the hot hand. I got to go with it. I don't know what you're going to get with Jordan Cameron. He may come alive. In fact, I actually have him on start, sit, and watch. So we'll just get into him.
All right.
I can't have Cameron in this trio or in this thing that
yeah,
the question we're looking for.
See, I agree, but Jordan Cameron in general, I think he's a good play this week. You have Whedon back. That's where he put up his numbers. Jordan Cameron was the second coming of Antonio Gates 7 years ago at the beginning of this year, and it seemed like Jason Campbell didn't look his way. I guess we'll find out this week. Did he trail off, or did Jason Campbell not go to him? I guess we'll find out, and there's a risk there.
That's very possible.
There's a risk there, but if I need the big splash this week and there's a chance you do, I think I'm going to risk it on Jordan Cameron. But let's save that for the start, sits, and watches, Rick.
That's probably a good point. I mean, you know, I can't really argue against it. I'm probably a safer player than you are when it gets down to that. I clinched the division. Where are you at? You're behind me. Sorry. Okay.
Well, that's all right. I'm starting Geno Smith this week. I'm going to make up two games in 1 week on you this week. All right, Rick. Cowboys 31, Raiders 24. Not a lot. Well, some big stat nines, but deceivingly big fantasy point wise. DeMarco Murray in the end zone three times, but only 17 carries for 63 yards, but a huge week for DeMarco Murray, who I played in about every league this week. Rashad Jennings only 35 yards, but he managed to find the end zone twice. And Rick, can you tell me where Andre Holmes went to college? Before Thursday, had you ever heard of Andre Holmes?
No, and I did hear his college during the game, but I even forget it. So
Hillsdale College's own Andre Holmes, 7 catches for 136 yards. You rushing out to that waiver wire and spending those last few FAAB dollars on Mr. Holmes?
No, but good for him. Yeah. Anyway, that was a great game.
A good day to do it anyhow. So really not a lot of news there. Cowboys doing what they do. Tony Romo, a nice little week. Dez Bryant. Yeah. Terrence Williams completely disappeared again. We talked about him. Was it on the Armed Forces show, I believe, last week?
The Tuesday show. It seems like a long time ago.
Usually do it Thursday. We recorded it Tuesday for the holiday. Get him out of your lineup. I'm sorry. It's over. It's done. Terrence Williams, I think with Miles Austin coming back, and even before Austin come back is where he started tailing off. I don't know what's happened, but Terrence Williams is fantasy poison right now.
Yeah, but, you know, Dallas back, you know, they got to, 7-5 now. Philadelphia could stay with them with a win this week, but if not, they're in lead of the division. And more importantly, they're undefeated in the division play, which means they have the tiebreaker.
All right, Rick, and before we get to the Ravens-Steelers game, we have a gentleman on the line who I know is a DeMarco Murray owner and is obviously very happy this morning on Sunday, setting up well. Jersey, how's it going?
Not too bad, gentlemen. Never fear, Jersey House is here. Oh, yeah, I played DeMarco Murray. I said every other game, Andre Brown. He was good, bad. This is his bad game. I sat him. Murray gave me 40-some points. I'm killing the guy that's tied. I smoked him in week one when he was up 78 points for Manning, and I'm kicking his ass again. Excuse my language again today, so can't beat me. But
hey,
quick question. In my other leg, it's retarded.
Hey, Jersey, before we get to the question, don't give yourself a cramp patting yourself on the back, okay?
This guy's going down, man. He's already spent 4 of his guys, and I'm up 100 to 51, and I got 5 guys left. He's got 3, so he's done. So I know we don't count the chickens, Lloyd, but today I am. But in my wrestling coach's league, man, it's retarded with my team. When your number 1 pick was Richardson and your number 3 pick was Wilson, and you struggle, so... Here's my dilemma, guys. Standard league. I got Gianotto Bernard starting, and I got Rashad Mendenhall. I got Monte Bell on the bench because it looks like Noshon's going to be going, and who knows what's going to go on, even though Bell did well 2 weeks ago against Kansas City. And I can't trust Tate. I mean, I've started Tate every week, and he just is a flop. Seems like they're going to Johnson or whatever. My question is, in the standard league, with Tate, with Mendenhall and Bernard in there now, I think my 2 best picks out of my 4 between Tate, Ball, Mendenhall, and Bernard. I got Mendenhall and Bernard in there now as my 2 starters.
I think Bernard's the easy one. He's the number 1 on that list. Monty Ball,
right.
I don't trust him. Noshon Moreno's getting 25, 30 touches a game at this point. Monty Ball shows some flashes, and then he coughs one up every game, and he can't get on the field. Rick, I know, and Jersey nailed it. Tate's been a flop. He's been one of my biggest disappointments since Foster.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't trust Mendenhall, Rick. I might be willing to give Ben Tate one more shot here. What do you think? I'm really torn on that.
I would probably agree with you, with the exception that Arizona's going against that Philly defense.
And
I think Mendenhall is probably, you know, a decent enough play. You know, when it gets right there, like you
said. And Andre Ellington's disappeared. He became our darling for a week and a half, and now he's sort of disappeared. I think that one's close enough. Mendenhall probably better shot at the end zone, it seems like. It's not a PPR. Tate might have a little more value there. I think I can't believe I'm recommending Rashard Mendenhall, but I am going to lean that way a little bit.
You know, that's my point. I mean, like you said, Houston's a total disaster. I mean, you know, it looked like they were on a skid, and you waited for 2 or 3 weeks in the middle of this losing streak. Okay, they're going to turn it around. All right, they're going to play Jacksonville. They're going to turn it around. They just can't seem to find that wind, and I just think they're totally dysfunctional. Everybody, you know, Tate's banged up on top of it. So I think I'm going to go with Mendenhall.
Do you guys agree? Do you drop a Tate for Johnson, who really seems to be the big play anymore now? You know what I mean? Is that something that you would think about doing in that reference there? Because, like I said, with the running backs here, you know, I'm fighting to make the playoffs. Now, Darren Sproles is available, but, again, Sproles hasn't done much. I mean, if I drop Sproles, I guess I could drop Tate. But, I mean, is Sproles worthwhile picking up just to have in case I either play in the toilet bowl or I'm going to make the playoffs next week?
If it was a PPR league, I'd say, go ahead and try that. But if it's not, I mean, I don't want any part of Darren Sproles.
Yeah, and anybody you want to pick up, Jersey, I got to tell you, I dropped Monte Ball before I dropped Ben Tate. As disappointing as Tate's been, I don't see, as Denver gets towards the playoffs, Monte Ball, they cannot trust him. This is a continuing problem. He can't hold on to the ball. Now, is this a keeper league or anything that you'd want to keep ball around?
It's a redraft league. I'm just trying to find a good second, you know, can maybe consist of running back. So I don't know if Johnson, you know, who seems to be getting the carriage with Tate with those ribs, you know, as they're, you know, I only have 2 wins tanking a season, you know, are you going to see more and more Johnson and less of Tate with those ribs? So I'm thinking, you know, out of who's left really in here, who's going to give me the most? Because I dropped Trent Richardson and I picked up, I cut him loose. I said, no more cancer on my team. And I picked up, like I said, Rashad Mendenhall to have. But, again, it's really limited out there. I mean, you have Roy Helu, you know, and you have basically Johnson. It's you know, Ronnie Hillman of Denver. But it's really Mark Ingram. It's just
slim pickings out there. But I'm going to have to agree with Rick. If you're going to pick up Johnson, maybe Ball's a guy you cut loose. And he seems to be in the doghouse anyway, and even though he's had a little bit of success, he has a hard time holding on to the football.
All right, I'll do that. Yeah, because like you said, as long as Noshon's healthy, and with that fumble last week, put him in the doghouse, even though he had 2 touchdowns against Kansas City, I don't think they trust him. You know how that team is. So, all right, I'll probably cut Ball and go with Johnson there. Like I said, this team's kind of in disarray. My own team, too. So we'll see what happens. But, guys, I appreciate it very much. I hope you guys had a nice Thanksgiving. Thanks for the voice you give me every week. And best of luck to you guys this weekend. And we'll chat next week. Mother Lake, like I said, I got 2 losses, man. I'm in first in that one. This one, I just can't get this team rolling. But, again, thanks for your help. I appreciate it. Have a nice Sunday.
Great to hear from you, Jersey. Put your feet up and enjoy that DeMarco Murray win there, Rick. All right, let's jump into
we got something in the chat room? We have some questions.
All right, let's do it.
Non-PPR, we need every last point to get into the playoffs.
I know that feeling.
Josh Gordon, yes. T.Y. Hilton, Danny Amendola, Marquise Colston.
Gordon, Hilton, Amendola, Colston. All right, it's obviously Gordon. I want no parts of Colston. It comes down to Hilton and Amendola for me, Rick. I'm leaning Amendola. As disappointed as he's been, T.Y. Hilton has just been bad, and his name was going to come up there scooping me a little bit on the start sits here. I actually have him on the watch list. Dealing with that shoulder injury, only 82 yards in the last 2 games. 5 catches in each game, but low yardage. Andrew Luck is really coming apart. I think all these injuries are catching up with Indianapolis. I like needing every last point. I like the upside of a Danny Amendola here over T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, and I think the difference between Amendola and Colston, Colston has not gotten it done. He hasn't had a big game maybe but once
now,
all
bear
year.
This in mind, and we talked about this earlier in the week on the Armed Forces Radio Network show. whenever we recommend you to sit one of these Saints wide receivers, know that there's a chance they go for 11 catches and 194 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah.
You just don't know which one it's going to be.
Exactly.
And in a do or die, you can't trust him. That's why I throw Colston out that quickly, Rick.
Yeah, and against that Seattle defense, look, Colston could be the go-to guy this week, but bear in mind, Jimmy Graham is the uncoverable guy on that offense.
And does he draw Richard Sherman? There's some talk
exactly.
of that. We don't know who Sherman's going to get. Whoever
right.
he gets is going to struggle. But I could well see them putting Sherman on Graham and taking their chances on Colston.
Yeah, but you know, Colston is interesting to me more than Hilton, but I think I'm still going to lean Amendola. Okay, here we go. Same non-PPR league, Chris Johnson, Andre Brown, Shane Vereen, and then the old C.J. Spiller or Fred Jackson.
All
and
right.
I need two of them.
All right, it's Andre Brown number one. In a non-PPR, I'm going to throw Vereen out. So now I'm down to, I don't want any parts of Spiller, I'm down to Chris Johnson, Rick, and Fred Jackson is who it comes down to me. So I'm going to look at the matchups. You go ahead. And
okay,
what
I'm certainly going Andre Brown with Jacobs out of there in a non-PPR. I think I'm going to have to lean Fred Jackson going against Atlanta. Atlanta just has a horrible defense. Jackson's the guy in Buffalo getting it done. Atlanta's given up 1,430 rushing yards. 4.6 yards a carry, 130 yards a game, and Fred Jackson's the one that's getting the goal line carries more so than Spiller. So I think I would go Fred Jackson on top of the Andre Brown.
How crazy of a year is this, Rick? If I'd have told you the Sunday morning of week one, the first inside slant we did, that in week 13 you would be recommending to sit Chris Johnson and C.J. Spiller.
Right.
Everybody would have shut their computers off, throw us two middle fingers in the air, and that would have been the end of it. But I agree with you. As bad as Atlanta is against the run, I think C.J. Spiller could have some success today. If he's going to, this is set it up. You almost know Fred Jackson's going to find the end zone. So I agree. It's Andre Brown and it's Fred Jackson for me
as well.
And
that's the thing. With guys like Spiller, I don't feel quite as nervous about benching Spiller, considering we're starting Jackson, as I do Johnson. Bear in mind with a guy like Johnson, he could go for 130 yards and two touchdowns very easily. I mean, he can bust one off for 65 yards. However, I just think that, you know, when you're needing every point, the goal line carries go to Fred Jackson, and I kind of like that play. Sean Green could be getting some red zone
True.
Carries.
And you always have that fear. So I'm going to agree. We're going to go Andre Brown and Fred Jackson there.
All right. All right. Here we go.
Oh, we got another one. All right.
Nope. I think that's it. We're caught up.
Well, let's jump into Rick. Steelers fall to the Ravens 22-20, the Justin Tucker show on Thanksgiving night. Just a few interesting things come out of Ray Rice, 12 for 32. We can't say it enough. Get him on your bench. There's
right.
very few scenarios you're going to start him. Heath Miller, 8 grabs. That's good to see, Rick, finally coming around. I know your favorite tight end in the league, 8 for 86. How about Le'Veon Bell, 16 for 73 and a touchdown, 7 catches for 63 yards. He is a huge part of that offense.
Yeah, he sure is. And I really like Le'Veon Bell. We talked about him back in the preseason when he was drafted. And, of course, we didn't get to see a lot of him because of the foot injury earlier. But he's certainly come alive. He's a complete player. You know, if you read my blog on our site, I had Pittsburgh beating Baltimore by 2.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I had 20-18. It was 22-20. Oh, my bad.
Well, hey, that's those games. You're so
I know. I knew
flip.
It was going to be close. It's just one of those things.
A field goal or under, and it's a coin flip. Who's going to win? What I want to talk about, Rick, in this game, and I don't want to belabor it, because number one is Steeler fans. I don't want this to come off as sour grapes.
Before you make your sour grapes
All right.
statement, we have another one here.
I said it wasn't sour grapes.
But it is. I need two
Jerk.
PPR.
Okay.
Because he has no running backs left.
All right.
Monty Ball, Obanaya, Rainey.
Ball, Obanaya, Rainey, and we need two of those. Okay. In a PPR, I think, oh, boy.
I think, to me, it's not as hard.
Rainey's
Ball,
probably obvious.
I think he's in the doghouse. I think it's Obanaya and Rainey.
See, I'm leaning. I think it's Rainey. Just we've seen he can do it. He hasn't done it the last couple weeks. Ball, he's probably going to get more touches. I don't know. Yeah, probably in a PPR, Obanaya has caught the ball a lot. I take that risk. Going up against Jacksonville, they could have a little bit of success. I'll agree with that. Ball, yeah, I just don't know if he even sees the field. Every time he sees the field, he fumbles the ball. So I'll agree. Let's go Obanaya. I think Rainey's the easy one there, and you hope he goes off like he did 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I hate to, because Rainey, with Tampa Bay, they're going against that Carolina defense. Ball in Denver, look, that's one of the most potent offenses in the league, and you actually have the chances of him having a decent day. But he's feast or famine, so I think you go Obanaya or Rainey.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Rick, I will save my end of the Steeler game rant for Tuesday's show. So you guys listen to that live Tuesday at 8 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio and then play it again on the Armed Forces Radio Network on Sunday evening. I'll save it for that, Rick. Let's get into our start sits. We got some folks need to get into the playoffs, and let's get them there. I can have a hissy fit. I got a whole offseason to have my hissy fit.
Okay, you're good
so
at that.
So I'm going to start with a start. Rick, you've mentioned this game a couple times. I am going to start Carson Palmer this week. He is on a roll going up against an Eagles defense. It's allowing over 24 fantasy points to the quarterback over the last couple of games. Carson Palmer, that offensive line starting to get it back together. When he's not on his back, Larry Fitzgerald plays better. Obviously, the emergence of Floyd. I like this Cardinals offense, and I think Carson Palmer's a good start this week. Why are you snickering over there?
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Thanks to our last half-hour co-host, Scott Fish. He's
doing,
full of
doing
chuckles.
Doing shtick in the chat room.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Scott Fish show in the chat room.
Exactly.
At my expense.
But I agree with you. I think Carson Palmer is a good start, yeah, especially against that Philadelphia defense. And, the Chip Kelly offense, I think they're actually going to have some success against Arizona. So, I think Palmer's going to have to be throwing the ball. So I agree with you. I like that start. So I will get with one. And we kind of hit on him before. And, of course, this is more geared towards the PPR leagues, which are the majority of them. But I really like
new standard.
Yeah. Here we go. But I really like Giovanni Bernard. Bernard comes up in a lot of our questions, and we've recommended him a lot. But, he's still in the back of people's minds because he's going up against backs that you've drafted higher in your draft. So, obviously, you don't want to bench some of these guys that you draft higher than him. But, versus San Diego, he's a must-start. The Chargers have given up almost 5 yards a carry. Plus, they've given up 276 yards per game in passing. Bernard's complete that way. He rushes the ball and he catches a lot of pass. And I think he's going to be used heavily in both spots this game, so I think he's a must-start.
Yeah, came on big recently, got banged up a little. There was concerns there. I think that bye week came at just the right time for him. I think Gio Bernard, a big play this week. Rick, somebody I'm going to sit. I know we talked about it on Tuesday night with Daniel Thomas looking like he's going to be out for the remainder of the year with that ankle. What's Lamar Miller going to be for the rest of the fantasy season? I can tell you what he's going to be today, and that's zilch going up against that number one Jets defense. While Lamar Miller may be a little bit interesting moving forward, it's not going to be this week. Not against that defense. Maybe he's a nice sneaky flex play in the playoffs, a high upside guy. We can talk about that more next week. But for this week, stay away from Lamar Miller if at all possible.
Yeah, I agree with you. He has gotten a lot of run on this show because he's so inconsistent.
Way too much Lamar Miller time
up,
on these airways.
He'll come up with a big game and you really start thinking, this could be the guy, and then they just get shut down. And Thomas gets some of the load, but, of course, he's out. But against New York, I'm not sure it really matters.
Yeah.
So I have to agree with you there. Okay, my sit. I got, Roddy White. I'm just thinking in this stage of your season, don't gamble. If you're playing spoiler or something, maybe you will want to go with the gamble because he does have the upside. But, the Bills are only giving up 229 yards a game in passing. And White's just not there this year. He's not – I don't think he's healthy.
I still don't think he's healthy.
I don't either. Atlanta stinks on top of that. Matty Ice is certainly – with Julio Jones out and Roddy White certainly not being Roddy White. They really don't have a running game. He's not picking the team on his shoulders. They're just a mess. And I agree. You have the upside with White, but unless you are really going for broke as a spoiler or vying for a playoff spot, I think you got to sit him.
Yeah, no question about it. I agree with that 100%. Rick, somebody I'm watching this week, Steven Jackson going up against the Bills, been a huge, obviously banged up and a huge disappointment since he came back. Did manage 63 yards, found the end zone last week. Buffalo averaging, allowing over 100 yards per game. A lost season for Atlanta. You wonder they're going to struggle. To your point, Matty Ice struggling, Roddy White struggling. Steven Jackson, you know, we see questions. We have questions with Ball, Obanaya, Rainey. We have some guys in these situations. Steven Jackson, you even think about, do you entertain taking a risk with Steven Jackson this week?
It obviously depends on your running back situation, but normally, no, I really wouldn't. I mean, I know he did have that decent game, but you know, you want to have the best possible chance to win getting into the playoffs in your fantasy team. You know, Buffalo's not that bad of a defense. And to me, Atlanta's a mess. And you like to stay away from some of these teams. And I don't know. Depending on who I had, like the one gentleman that was in the chat room who was out of running backs, yeah, maybe you'd love to have a Steven Jackson in that situation. But if you
he'd buy a Steven Jackson jersey if it made a difference.
But yeah, normally I don't think I'd gamble with him, no. And I think we're actually beyond the point of watching, really.
Okay.
You know, we're getting so late into the year. But I'll tell you a guy to watch, I think, maybe going into the playoffs because, you know, he's has a potential huge games. However, you're one and done in the fantasy playoffs. And Riley Cooper, to me, is one of these guys. In the last four games, he's had 13, 139, 102 and 37 yards. He's had 0, 3, 2, 0 touchdowns. But to me, the key stat in that is the catches. He's had 2, 5, 3, and 3. And so
you're counting on that deep ball.
Yeah. If you don't get the deep ball and the touchdown, he is basically useless.
True.
And he will leave you hanging in the playoffs. So I mean, you really have to watch this guy unless you have a pretty solid wide receiving core and you use him in a flex. I think he's a great flex play, but to put him in at your wide receiver two as part of that receiving core, I think you're real gambling there.
Yeah, I think where you take a gamble, to your point, is in the flex spot. I don't know if you trust him. It always felt like, and he did it over a couple of weeks, and so everybody started to buy in a little bit. He always seemed like a flash-in-the-pan sort of deal. I'm not going into my playoffs. If I need one win, I'm not hoping. I'd rather get knocked out of the playoffs with Riley Cooper on my bench than get knocked out with him in my starting lineup and a more consistent, a more legitimate fantasy wide receiver in my lineup. So I agree. I don't know that I trust him. It's obviously going to depend on what your roster looks like, but I think you can find safer options out there. Let's swing around, Rick. We don't have as many games to hit. Let's just do one more start. Somebody,
well, let's hit the chat room.
Let's do
here.
That instead.
We have a PPR question. Ryan Fleeger loves me. He really loves me, Matthews or Stephen Ridley.
So it was Matthews and Ridley.
Oh, and also available for that flex spot is Michael Crabtree coming back.
Michael Crabtree, yeah, not interested necessarily there, not his first week back. So it comes back to Matthews and Ridley. Boy, I might be done with Ridley, Rick. I think I might go with Fleeger loves me Matthews here. I really might. Let's what was their matchup again? My mind just went blank. It was a fairly decent
matchup.
Who's
San Diego?
Yeah, San Diego.
San Diego's playing Cincinnati.
Yeah, so not a great matchup. You can run the ball. Boy, Ridley, he's fumbled the ball how many games in a row? His carries are way down. I actually had a stat
here.
Playing Houston. Again, not
ironically, still the number one total defense in the NFL, which to me is – I can't – figure this one
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's just one of those anomalies. But the worst fantasy defense
right.
Also, coincidentally, not sure how that worked. In the last two games combined, Rick, 17 carries for 62 yards for Stephen Ridley. You always risk the hoodie finding that matchup, Ridley having a little early success and finding the end zone three times. I don't want to get into it. Ryan Matthews has been a pretty consistent 100 yards. I don't trust Stephen Ridley. I know it just sounds like me doing what I do. I'm going to go with Ryan Matthews here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to agree with you. I kind of like Crabtree coming back, but I really hate these first games back. Look, sometimes they can explode on you.
Like Andre Brown.
Like Andre Brown, exactly.
Like
we're going to work him into the offense that he gets 20 carries and 140 yards. Or
but I think more often than not, it's what Percy Harvin had last week, and something flares up. Yeah. I think this is certainly a case. That's a serious injury. This is certainly something you ease back
and,
into.
And the thing that concerns me with Matthews is he's a little banged up. Yeah, I think he tweaked a hammy last week, you know, Woodhead's been playing well, but I don't really want to trust Ridley. And I agree with you there. I know New England's playing Houston, which is, to me, a tasty fantasy matchup, but I think I'd have to roll with Matthews.
All right. Ryan Matthews extravaganza here on the Asylum Ring.
Yeah, a real
never
extravaganza.
Ends. All right, let's pick the remainder of these games. Rick, Tampa Bay at Carolina. Do the Panthers keep it rolling?
I think they do, but I don't think it's going to be easy. And I've got them winning by a field goal. I got Carolina 30, Tampa Bay 27.
Yeah, I tell you what, Tampa Bay's been game. I give them credit. They've really turned it around on what was a true, true mess. And if it wasn't for Houston, maybe Houston took the spotlight off of them a little bit. I'm going to agree a game closer than it probably should be, but I think Carolina is for real at this point. A chance for, we'll get into the New Orleans-Seattle matchup, a chance to get back even with them, knowing that New Orleans has a tough matchup on the road. I think Carolina finds a way under a touchdown.
Okay.
Jacksonville at Cleveland.
You know, Jacksonville, they're a scrappy bunch, and I think this is going to be a tight game, albeit a snoozer, hard to watch. But I like Cleveland. I've got to go with them. I still think they're the favorite. I got them 27-21.
Yeah, I agree. It is a coin flip. I think Cleveland's just better. Jacksonville, you know, coming off another win, this isn't a 5-6 win team, so the loss has got to come somewhere. I'll agree, Cleveland at home. New England at Houston.
I think New England really made a statement against Denver. Houston's a mess, and I think New England rolls 38-17.
Yeah, I don't think it's even close. I think the Patriots go down there and just blow them out. Tennessee at the Colts, always an interesting matchup.
This is an interesting game because Tennessee, if they've ever been in a must-win situation, I think this is it. Indianapolis has really dug themselves a hole, and now they got Irsay getting on their butts. No excuses, no reason never to win the division, blah, blah. I think Tennessee takes it in the squeaker, 27-24.
Interesting. I want to go that way. I think I'm going to go the Colts. I just think they are the better team. I don't like Andrew Luck this week. I don't like T.Y. Hilton. We've talked about it. I just don't know how much I trust Ryan Fitzpatrick. Andy can play a little bit of defense. I think equally close, but I think the Colts find a way to squeak this one out. Chicago at Minnesota.
You know, Minnesota, with Adrian Peterson, they're always dangerous. And when you got to run defense that Chicago's been putting up this year, giving up just acres of yards, it's a scary game. But I think Chicago finds a way to win. I think they've got superior wide receivers. Matt Forte, look, he's no slouch either. So I like Chicago, 27-17.
Yeah, I think Minnesota makes a game of it early, and the Chicago defense, while you can gain yardage on them, they're also going to turn you over, which is something the Vikings like to do a good bit. I think that's the difference, and Chicago finds a way to, at least for now, keep pace with Detroit. Miami at the Jets.
I like Miami. I just don't like what Geno Smith has regressed to the last couple of weeks. Their offense is a mess, and I think Miami's defense can capitalize on that. I have them winning 27-14.
Yeah, boy, everything in me, Rick, wants to take the Jets and say this is going to be the bounce-back week for Geno Smith, and he's going to torture the Dolphins. But
ooh,
I will
you
not,
may be on the island
I
again.
Will not fall for it again. I am going to take Miami by 47 just to be safe. So Miami 47, Geno Smith gets benched after the first series. Moving on, Arizona at Philadelphia.
I think it's going to be a higher-scoring game than what you would think with that Arizona defense. But I think Carson Palmer airs it out, and I think they find a way to win. I got them 32-28 over Philadelphia.
Statistically, I like the Cardinals. What I don't like is them traveling across the country on a holiday week. I assume the weather in Philadelphia will be similar to what it is here, cold and kind of drab and damp. I think Philadelphia trying to keep pace with the Cowboys. I'm going to take Philadelphia. Everything tells me logically. I think the Arizona Cardinals are a better football team. I think the circumstances being what they are, I'm going to take the Eagles. Atlanta travels to Buffalo.
I don't like Atlanta, period, and they're traveling to Buffalo. I like Buffalo in this one by a touchdown, 24-17.
Yeah, look, Buffalo doesn't have a lot of the results to show for, but that's a scrappy team. That's a decent little football team that may be on the verge of something here if E.J. Manuel works out, gets a season under his belt, and gets one more offseason in that system. I think you start to buy into Atlanta, just a total mess, and that's what's happening. They have the skill. They have the skill players. That defense is bad. I think Buffalo runs all over them. I think it's a close game. It's a tight game, but I think it's Buffalo in the end. St. Louis, a weird St. Louis team. They could just blow your doors off, or they could not show up at all. I don't know what to make of them. I just avoid them as a gambler. St. Louis travels to San Francisco.
Yeah, I looked at this game, and the first time I came up with a score was 42-7 San Francisco. Then I came up, it was 41-3 St. Louis.
That's about right,
so
yeah.
So I'm taking San Francisco 24-18.
There you go. Just meet it right in the middle. Yeah, I agree. Maybe if this is in St. Louis, I'd entertain them beating San Francisco. Just you nailed it. They either get their doors blown off or they blow somebody's door off, and it doesn't matter who it is. It just doesn't matter who it is. I think at home, San Francisco, the better team. If I have to put money on it, I'm going to trust the 49ers in that situation.
I agree.
Another game of the week with Denver with that loss for the division. Denver at Kansas City this time.
Here's two teams that are hurting a bit. And, you know, Peyton Manning, look, when it's cold, they're vulnerable. Kansas City's losing players on defense right and left lately. However, they put up a lot of points last week against San Diego, albeit, you know, a pretty generous defense. They're in Kansas City, so I'm going to say Kansas City finds a way to win 31-30.
I want for all the world to pick Kansas City, and I'm going to be rooting for Kansas City in this game, and this will be the one game that gets me to turn off the Red Zone channel and sit down to watch a game that's not a Steeler game, and even then I can't get through most of those anymore. I just think you nailed it. Those injuries on defense for Kansas City, that's what's kept them afloat, just managing their offense, and the defense got it done. Those injuries scare me. I know we're getting to the time of the year where Peyton Manning gets bad. I think he's got to be ticked after that loss Sunday night. I think Denver fairly easily. I think Denver wins this game.
In Kansas City.
Interesting
prediction.
So we have Cincinnati at San Diego, fantasy game of the day.
Yeah. Look, Cincinnati, they're another Jekyll and Hyde team. They'll go out there and you think, okay, this team's for real and they're going to waltz away with the AFC North. But look, they could be within one game of Baltimore with a loss here. And San Diego, they can put up points on you. And I'm really liking the way Phillip Rivers is playing. It's kind of interesting. You know, Norv Turner is always considered a quarterback guru. Phillip Rivers, we were basically giving up on him.
Right. He was undrafted this year. Now
and
he's a top 10 guy.
Now he's back to Phillip Rivers, and Norv Turner is no longer there.
Right.
So, I mean, I really like what San Diego's doing defensively, no, but offensively. And I think they pull out a win, 30-21.
I agree. That was going to be my upset special. Maybe it's not that big of an upset. This is more based on a feeling, Rick. I got a feeling that AFC North is going to come down to the last weekend. I actually see the Steelers weaseling their way back into it. Baltimore and Cincinnati could lose any game at any week. In order for all of this to happen, Cincinnati's going to have to lose a game. They should win somewhere. I think this is it going across the country. I'm going to take the Chargers as well in another sort of crazy game like they had last week. The Giants travel to our nation's capital, Rick, and take on the inappropriately named Redskins, as I'm being told.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful nickname, but unfortunately, I don't think the nickname is going to win it for them. I think the Giants win easily, 35-20.
Yeah, we keep talking about what a mess Houston is, Tampa Bay was. This might be the biggest mess going right
now. I agree.
I don't think RG3 makes it through the game. I think we see Kirk Cousins, which might make it a close game. He seems to like to come in relief and make a big splash. I think Andre Brown has a huge day. Eli Manning, if he could just keep from throwing six picks statistically, I think he's going to be bad. But I think the Giants win this game, to your point, fairly easily. And I will get Scott on the line, Rick, if you want to talk about easily the game of the week.
Oh, okay. There
you go. New Orleans at Seattle.
Yeah, we're playing in Seattle, and we all know that New Orleans is really iffy away from that dome. But I like New Orleans this week. And Seattle, you know, with the suspensions and maybe some of that little internal squabbling going on. And New Orleans, they realize they're in a division race now. You know, maybe 3 weeks ago when they were up, you know, I mean, that's maybe where one of those losses came from with New Orleans. But Carolina's breathing down their neck, and I think they're going to pull one out, 24-23.
Oh, I think going to Seattle, the 12th man, I buy into all that. Coming off the bye week, everybody healthy. You do worry about the issues in the secondary now. But I think Seattle at home, able to turn the ball over a little bit, and I think they find a way. I think it's going to be a heck of a game, but I like the Seahawks here. So, Rick, let's. I just got to hit the button here. Let's welcome in our buddy, Geno Smith's twin brother, Mr. Scott Fish of FFOasis.com. Scott, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are wonderful as always, Scott. Glad to have you back.
That's great. Hey, Flieger, if you get a chance, you still haven't made your pick in your suicide pool there. I was told just about 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. I am on that. Rick, you talk to Scott.
You know,
I think
what we ought to do is instead of Chris going through you, maybe I'd just call into the show and yell at him. I think that would be great radio.
I don't think Chris would yell at me. He doesn't seem like – I've never spoke to him personally, but he doesn't seem like the yelling type.
He really doesn't. He's a good guy, just a good, solid guy.
Something we don't understand here on our show, unfortunately.
In the asylum here. Thank God you come in here for the last half. Okay, I guess we will just get rolling here and try to get some people into the playoffs, I guess.
Let's do it.
All right. This one here I thought was, we got this one a little while ago, but I thought it was an interesting question. Ryan Fitzpatrick or Eli Manning?
Well, the machine tells us Fitzpatrick is the no-brainer, but I'm not loving that. I'm just not loving that. Washington gives up a lot of points to the quarterbacks, and I feel like this time of year, every year is when I doubt Eli, and then he comes on strong. So I'm gonna go against the machine here, and I'm taking Eli.
Yeah, I tell you, I love Eli in December. I've been talking about it since that awful September and October. Ryan Fitzpatrick's just a 300-yard machine, though. I want to lean that way, but just realistically, I can't do it, Rick. I'm going to go with Scott, and I'm going to go with Eli. If there's a matchup and a time of year he can put it together, it's this year. I'm going to fall for it one more time. I think, and we talked about it Tuesday, and I swore I wouldn't do it, but here I go again. Eli Manning and Geno Smith, one and the same for me, and I'm going to take that risk one more time.
You know, I really like Eli against this Washington matchup. I think Washington, or like I said, when we prediction, I just think New York's going to win easily. But to Rick's point, Fitzpatrick just seems to be one of these guys right now. He's playing pretty solid. And I think Tennessee, this is one of their must-win games, and maybe it is for Indianapolis too. This could be a real shootout in my mind. Therefore, I am going to go with the machine and just edge ever so closely on Ryan Fitzpatrick's side.
Ah. Well, another note on Eli. I was going to mention, I forgot. Washington has allowed over 22 fantasy points to 7 of the 11 quarterbacks that faced them. So there's a little safety there, too, as well.
I agree. I mean, like I said, everything's telling me to take Eli in this matchup. But just something tells me that Fitzpatrick's going to have a good day. Okay. Pick 2 in a PPR. Mendenhall, Ivory, Pierre Thomas, or Daniel Thomas?
Daniel Thomas is out.
Exactly.
So
I mean,
well,
this is wild. Yeah, sorry.
So Mendenhall, Ivory, and Pierre Thomas, I don't think the PPR matters for any of these three guys. I think Ivory's got himself a decent little matchup if that ankle's all right, something to keep an eye on. I'm going to lean Ivory and Mendenhall there. Pierre Thomas putting together a nice little game, but I think he's a matchup play. I hate him going up to Seattle. I don't like either of them, but I'm going to go Mendenhall and Ivory there, Rick.
Yeah, that's not a good choice when you got to get two of these guys in there, quite frankly. But I'm with Rick with Mendenhall. I think I will go with him. But I think I'm going to lean towards Pierre Thomas. I just think he's a solider play, albeit against Seattle. I don't like, but no, I think Pierre Thomas is emerging in that offense, so I'm going Thomas.
we are going to be no help to this guy at all. the machine says Pierre Thomas, then Ivory, then Mendenhall. I can't remember which one. I'm agreeing with one of you, but I actually like Pierre Thomas to have a decent game and on Monday night. I think he's going to be utilized a little more, just trying to get around that strong secondary of Seattle. And I'm going to take the chance with Ivory against Miami. I think he's going to get more touches, and I hear Ellington is going to play today, so I think Ellington is going to steal some snaps from Mendenhall. I do like Mendenhall, but I'm going to take Ivory and Thomas. So I'm siding with the machine, I guess.
Okay, so we have Scott and the machine, just like little bugs in a rug, Ivory and Thomas. Britton's going Mendenhall, Thomas, and Flieger's going Mendenhall, Ivory. So
good luck, pal. Yeah, that's about
good luck,
all we can
Bob,
tell you.
I don't know what to tell you on that.
So on to more important things, Rick. Now, I have to wonder. I have saved and managed to survive, as Scott brought up, the 2013 FFO Aces Suicide
all
League.
Right.
I have saved Peyton Manning for just a situation like this. Played Phillip Rivers, played Tony Romo. Not the greatest matchup coming off that awful game. Is this a situation, Rick, where if I'm going to get eliminated, I'll go ahead and let it be Peyton Manning who eliminates me?
Well, to me, you probably should have played Peyton Manning when it was warm one of those weeks.
True, true.
However, you know, in a situation like this, it's kind of like a couple weeks ago we were sitting there and you said, hey, I'm going Calvin Johnson. It's Suicide League. If I lose with Calvin Johnson, fine.
Right.
That's the same thing with Peyton Manning.
So I say Peyton Manning. The pick is in. Let Chris know so he doesn't yell, apparently.
This is the final week for quarterbacks, too, so you can't hold on to him for another week. You might as well.
Yeah, no sense saving him up. Probably the least amount of risk. So Peyton Manning is the pick is in. All right, Rick, now let's get to the questions. It'll be less about me and more about the listeners for the next 25 minutes.
All right,
that's
well.
That's not true.
Apparently we talk too much. There's a question in the chat room here. He needs one. RG3, Tannehill, or Fitzpatrick?
Fitzpatrick there. I don't think RG3 finishes the game. Tannehill, never know what you're going to get. Fitzpatrick, he's going to turn the ball over, but I think he's about a lock for 325 yards.
I'm going with Fitzpatrick in that scenario as well.
I think this kind of depends on his matchup and where he stands in playoff rankings, but I think the safe pick is Fitzpatrick. I think if he's playing like a huge team that he might a very good team that he has very little chance to beat, I'd go for RG3's upside, but Fitzpatrick's the pick in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean that's a good point. If you're really scrappy, if you're going to be a spoiler, or if you're playing against a real heavy favorite, maybe RG3's upside is the way to go, but I think Fitzpatrick to me easily. Okay, here we go. Who would you start in a PPR flex spot? Tavon Austin, Hakeem Nicks, or Steve Smith?
Oh man, risk all over the place there. I think I'm eliminating Steve Smith. We talked about that on Tuesday, Rick. I'm just done with Steve Smith. You can't trade. He's four catches. Maybe you hope he gets in the end zone. Love what Tavon Austin's done, but he hasn't done it on a ton of touches. Do you want to trust him having to bust one for 60-plus? Hakeem Nicks coming back, supposedly healthy. I know he hasn't been in the end zone yet. A real, real good matchup, though. I think, depending, if sort of to the point on the last question, if you need a real splash play, maybe it's Tavon Austin. If you get individual points for special teams plays, maybe it's Tavon Austin. If I'm playing it safe, if I'm just looking for a win, looking to coast into the playoffs, I think it's going to be Hakeem Nicks for me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. I don't like Tavon Austin going against San Francisco, but Hakeem Nicks against Washington. Look, he hasn't been in the end zone, I know, but he's actually had double-digit catch days, so I think you have the possibility of a good day. And if there's a week for him to get into the end zone, it may be against the Skins, so I'm going Knicks.
Wow, I guess the machine's going to be on an island with Steve Smith, just slightly edging out Austin and Knicks. For me, I think you both said it perfectly, but just because I want to be on an island, I'm going to pick Tavon Austin. The last time they played San Francisco, they targeted him. I might be wrong here, but it was either 8 or 9 times, and he had like 3 drops. I think part of their game plan to face that San Francisco defense is getting it to Austin in space, and he was just dropping him last time. So I think he might have a decent week. I think that he might be part of their game plan. So I'm going to put myself on an island against you guys and take Austin over next.
Tavon Austin Island, just a little bit southeast of Geno Smith Island.
Yeah, but it's a whole lot bigger. I tell you what, it's not a bad island to be on. It's close with Knicks. I just think with that matchup against the Skins is what tilted it for me towards Knicks, but I can see why you would take that. Steve Smith, the machine taking Steve Smith, to me that's, I don't know, that's a scary one. I don't like the...
It's getting late in the year. It's cold, the machines. You're running a little
slower.
Yeah, maybe
the gears are a little slow. You oiled that thing recently.
You had Ben Roethlisberger getting all grabby with it. He's a little discombobulated. I give the machine a break on that one. I'll give him a pass.
Right. I won't. I'm not giving him any sort of pass. We don't get passes.
Well, I
will say you guys are right, though. If this caller, if this questioner is listening, Knicks is the safe play. I just like the Austin upside today.
Okay.
Oh, and in one play, he can make a genius out of you, and that's just it. Depending on your situation, I'd be scared to count on that one play.
Right.
Right.
Now, here's a question here that, to me, kind of surprising that we haven't had more of, really, this type of a thing. Steven Jackson or D'Angelo Williams?
Oh, boy.
Because I can see some guys being banged.
He will out for today, isn't he?
Excuse me?
D'Angelo Williams is out today, right?
Oh, that could be a yes. You know, I haven't even checked that, to be honest with you.
I thought I saw that earlier. I come across my little
Rick
wire.
Is feverishly going after.
Very, very doubtful to play Sunday against the Bucks.
All right. Easily Steven Jackson.
I think I'd have taken Steven Jackson in either scenario, though.
I think I would have, too.
Refusal to give him the ball. You know, I don't want to break it down too much, being that D'Angelo is out. But Steven Jackson, you know, I had him on my watch list. He's
this
a guy.
This could translate to Jonathan Stewart, though, really.
Do you think?
If somebody's in that same situation, I still like Steven Jackson better than Stewart.
Yeah,
I think Tolbert hawks too much at the goal line.
And Cam Newton. And Tolbert's been getting a few carries between the 20s, too, which has been surprising to me. So I think outside, really, Rick, of Cam Newton and the tight end, Greg Olsen, I don't really like much on that Carolina offense.
No, it's hard to grab them. They're just a good, solid, spread-out offense that certainly, fantasy-wise, is nothing spectacular. Even Olsen, he's very serviceable tight end, but he's not one of the top elite ones. Cam Newton is, you could consider him elite basically with his upside, but he's been inconsistent as well. It's a defense that you really like on Carolina.
Hey, here's something interesting, Rick, before you jump into the next question. Maybe this is old news. It just popped up here at 11 o'clock. I'm looking at the CBS Fantasy website. Trent Richardson's been officially demoted to the backup. Do you have any interest in Donald Brown now, or any more interest? I know he's a guy we've talked about a lot. Now that they're going to say Trent Richardson's been pushed back, what do you make of all that?
Well, in my opinion, you know, we've kicked Donald Brown around literally and figuratively on the show for the last two or 3 years.
I don't believe you have ever literally kicked Donald Brown.
No, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Kick your ass, I think, is what he would do.
Without any he'd kick both our ass without even trying, I'm sure. However, I like Donald Brown's matchup against Tennessee. I mean, he had a couple touchdowns against him in the last matchup. And, I would certainly look for him if he's a starter. Can he hold it together and be the every down back? I don't know. But going into this final week and maybe the first round of the playoffs, he may be worth a shot in your flex spot. Scott?
Yep, I am completely with you on that. I just think they can't go to Trent anymore, and Donald Brown's been looking good enough to be a decent flex on just about any team. As long as it's your RB3 in leagues where you only start one running back, I don't know about that, but yeah, definitely a good flex for this week.
Yeah, we had a good observation with Russ Baxter on the show last week. We were talking about Donald Brown, and it seems like since Richardson has come into Indianapolis, he has been running with a purpose and running much harder than he really ever has, and almost like a change back. And maybe this is, I don't know, his defining season. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on it for next year. But for this year, it really feels like he feels that pressure, and he wants to make sure to keep his job.
That's for sure. All right, here we go with another one here. Where were we at, Steve? No, we've got, okay, Russell Wilson or Andy Dalton?
Oh, wow. See, that's tougher than it should be. Andy Dalton, you talk about a great matchup. I believe it is 8 touchdowns. The Chargers have given up the quarterbacks over the last 3 games. Andy Dalton's interesting. Russell Wilson at home. Boy, that's tough. A week before the playoffs, I don't know if I want to risk. I don't want to go down in flames with Andy Dalton at the helm. I'm going to take Russell Wilson, but that's closer than it should be, in my opinion.
I agree. You know, New Orleans defense has stiffened up a bit this year. But I think in either scenario, you're going to have to air it out. Look, Phillip Rivers is going to be winging it around, and you know Drew Brees is going to. So you're almost guaranteed that Wilson and Dalton are going to have to. My decision, I guess, is predicated on Seattle. I think they can control the game easier with the run game than Cincinnati can. So therefore, I'm going to lean Andy Dalton.
Well, dang it all. I was hoping to hang out on my island with Tavon Austin and Andy Dalton, but you just had to crash the party, didn't you? All right. Well, I'm taking Andy Dalton. The machine says Russell Wilson. I'm completely with you on Dalton having to air it out against Phillip Rivers in that game. I can see the defenses stepping up a little more on Monday night and it being a little lower scoring, but I love Andy Dalton for this weekend. Give me Dalton. Give the machine Russell Wilson.
Okay, while Flieger's pushing his buttons, you and I can just relax, and Andy Dalton have a few drinks.
I'm glad you said that. I was heading down a dangerous road there for about a quarter of a second, Rick.
No, I don't think. Only in your pea brain. Okay, PPR, Ben Tate, Steven Jackson, and, of course, this one's gone now that Trent Richardson is demoted. He was the third guy.
He'd have been the third guy with or without the demotion. So
I don't think it's that hard to make. I got to go Steven Jackson.
I think I agree. I thought I was maybe going out on a limb there a little bit, but I'm going to trust Steven Jackson a little bit more. Tate been a big letdown. Johnson becoming more of a part of that offense. I agree. It's going to be Steven Jackson for me.
Yeah, the machine completely agrees and has the same order. And even with that Steven Jackson, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart potential question we had earlier, the machine also has Steven Jackson. It's a flat-out sweep. I don't know how much I trust Tate, and we definitely can't trust Richardson now. So Steven Jackson it is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to just, to me, look at the backs, and the superior talent certainly is Steven Jackson. Okay, Zach Stacy or Gio Bernard in PPR?
Oh, boy, that's so tough. I just think for all the reasons you guys liked Andy Dalton, I think it's got to be Gio Bernard. Zach Stacy, what he's done since he's taken over that starting job has been impressive, just facing a much better defense there in San Francisco. You never know what you're going to get out of that Rams team, as we talked about earlier. That's really close. You said it was a PPR, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm going to go Bernard there.
I'm going to agree very closely, though. I think against that San Francisco defense, I think they're going to have to throw some of these short passes out of the backfield and so forth to try to get some of these yards and throw San Francisco off balance, and Stacy's the guy there. But I still think that Bernard, against San Diego, it's a much poorer defense than San Francisco is, so I like Bernard.
Yeah, the machine has Bernard by just the tiniest of hairs. And I actually have this exact situation in two leagues where I am starting Bernard. So I got to put my money where my mouth is on that one and recommend a Gio Bernard start. Plus, Zach Stacy's going to be limited with how many points Tavon Austin is going to score. So
Tavon Austin is going to be a busy man this week.
Apparently. But, no, certainly to that question writer there, it's a clean sweep with Bernard, but I think it's pretty close the whole way around.
Incredibly close.
Okay, here's one in PPR, and I thought this was an interesting question to have this dilemma, but Vincent Jackson or Pierre Garçon?
Oh, boy, Vincent Jackson, Pierre Garçon. Boy, when Vincent Jackson is right, he's real right. And then there's games he just goes away, and the high-top fade tends to take over the offensive offensive game for the Bucs. I think Vincent Jackson's a safer play. Pierre Garçon, it's just such a mess there in Washington right now. I don't know what the who the quarterback's going to be when the third quarter starts. I don't know what Cousins and Garçon's relationship's like. Just based on, you talk about two messes there, but Tampa Bay putting it together a little bit. Vincent Jackson can't easily be a 145-yard, two-touchdown guy. Now, he can just as easily be a three-catch for 27-yard guy. I'm going to go all in, one game to play, one and done. I'm going to trust Vincent Jackson more than I'm going to trust Pierre Garçon.
Yeah, that is a tough dilemma to have. I like the potential of Garçon against the New York defense, but I don't know. In my mind, a big, rangy guy like Vincent Jackson actually has a capability of taking over a game, similarly to a Brandon Marshall or Calvin Johnson. So, therefore, I think Vincent Jackson is a play there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree. The machine has Pierre Garçon, just to get that out there. But what I have here is last game, Vincent Jackson had 5 for 79 on 11 targets. I love that, but I hate the fact that Carolina has only allowed 3 touchdowns this year to wide receivers, and the Giants have allowed 8. And I feel like teams, I mentioned this on the X's and Y's podcast with John Evans and Liz Loza a couple weeks ago, teams that are fighting for their coaches' jobs tend to just crush fantasy hopes. You might remember LaDainian Tomlinson in week one of a playoffs and Adrian Peterson week one of a playoffs a few years ago. I think Washington's going to be fighting for Shanahan's job, and I think they're going to – I think Tampa Bay is going to be fighting for Shiano's job, and I don't think Vince Jackson's going to do much. Wow, I really lost my train of thought midway through. Sorry about that. But either way, I'm loving Pierre Garçon this week.
I kind of take your points, but I agree with the point of fighting for the coach's job. I actually think both teams are fighting for their coach's jobs, and I'm starting to think that Shiano is more popular with the players than Shanahan is. It's almost like Shanahan's season has really started to tank, where Tampa Bay's has picked up.
I think that's where I was going, that Shiano's started to get more of a lock on that job, and Shanahan's, he's 3-8. He loses another divisional game. They're going to want to step up for him today. That I think that's more of where I was going before I lost my train of thought.
Don't worry, there'll be another one around soon. Don't worry about that.
But, okay, so you actually are going Garçon.
Along
yes.
the machine.
Yeah, well, along
so
with the machine.
We're split.
I was starting to wonder about you and a machine, Scott.
Oh, it's better than Geno.
there's always that.
Okay, I have Rodgers, so pick my quarterback now. Alex Smith or Mike Glennon?
Oh, boy, Alex Smith, Mike Glennon. I think there's got to be more upside with Glennon, right? He can put up some big numbers. Yeah, if I needed to win an NFL game, it's Alex Smith all day. But to win a fantasy game, I think it's going to be Mike Glennon for me.
To me, that's close. I tell you what, with the offensive output that the Chiefs potentially have with Jamal Charles, Dwayne Bowe and company, I really want to go Alex Smith, but I'm like you. I think the big play potential is with Glennon. But, oh, man, I tell you what, look, Smith has 2,400 and some yards. He's only averaging 222 yards a game. But Glennon, boy, I tell you what.
This is tearing you all up.
It is, because they're averaging about the same. You know what? I'm going Alex Smith. I think he's a safer play. He's got a better team. He's got better players on offense around him, say Vincent Jackson. Look, they're averaging about the same amount per game passing. Therefore, I'm going with Smith. I really am.
Yeah, the machine has Alex Smith by a fairly large margin, and I have to agree. I just trust that a little more. If St. Louis has one of its crazy 45-point in the first quarter efforts, they're going to be passing. And even if they don't, Alex Smith is putting up decent numbers this year. I'm going to go with Alex Smith and just admit Briggs is right.
Oh, wow. So
you find yourself on Mike Glennon Island.
Yeah, so the question is it a step up from Geno Smith to Mike Glennon Island? Have I moved up a little bit in the world anyhow?
Oh, I think it's you went from a sinking volcano little spot in the ocean that's ready to explode to at least an island that has some palm trees on
all right,
it. Maybe even some fresh water.
You think? Maybe. Oh,
yeah.
Good then. Mike Glennon Island for me all day then.
Okay. All right, we have, okay, Nick Foles or Matt Ryan?
Nick Foles, Matt Ryan. I think it's Nick Foles with one of my bullets, Rick. I don't trust Matt Ryan. We've talked about that. Atlanta team has just completely came apart. I actually have some stats here, believe that or not, when we start talking about Matt Ryan. In the last four games, 219, 172, 254, 292. That doesn't look so bad. Four TDs, five picks. Matt Ryan, for a while that team was bad, was putting up fantasy numbers. That's even gone away. So who are we talking? Nick Foles. It doesn't even matter who it is. Give me Nick Foles over Matt Ryan.
I'm going to have to agree with you there. Matt Ryan, Atlanta's going south. They don't have the easiest matchup in the world against Buffalo. I really think that Philadelphia is going to be in a shootout today and against Arizona. And I don't like the matchup against that Cardinal defense by any stretch of the imagination. But I still think I'm going to go Foles.
The machine has Foles. I also have Foles. I have this exact problem in my biggest league where I have a must-win game this week. I want to throw another player out at you that might be on the wire and is on my team because I debated this as well. Josh McCown, throw him in the mix with those two. I have Foles over Ryan, but what do you think about Josh McCown versus Foles, being that Josh McCown plays the Vikings, who are going to a defensive strategy of not actually starting defensive backs?
I think that Josh McCown, actually, if we had gotten to another starter sit, I think he is an absolute start. And therefore, I mean, that's one reason why I like the Bears over Minnesota, is I think McCown – yeah, they just have weapons, and he's going to use them. Look, you got Marshall, you got Jeffrey, you got Forte. I think he's a must start.
Yeah, I agree. And you look at in the games he started, seven TDs, one pick. So I think we're throwing Matt Ryan out. So you got McCown versus Foles. Boy, it's tough to do, again, in a one-and-done scenario. I might lean just a half a tick Josh McCown there.
Oh, I think I would, too. In this situation against the Arizona defense, Foles I'm talking about.
A lot of turnover
potential
there.
I would go McCown.
All right. Well, good to know. And that listener's got a sweep on Foles over Ryan, so that helps him, too.
Put it all together. And so I hope we don't knock you out. I hope you don't take any of our advice, Scott. It's somebody else, but not for you.
One more, and I thought this one was quite interesting. PPR, it's a tight end question. Yeah, Fleener or Cameron?
Fleener or Cam? I'm telling you, I like what Fleener's done lately. He's become a more, and I know how you feel about Cameron. With Jason Campbell being out, it's risky because he's gone away the last few weeks. I think Jordan Cameron puts it back together this week. I think Whedon looks his way. You remember what he did the first four or five weeks of the season, Rick. I'm going to risk it. I'm needing a win, needing a big splash out of your tight end position. I'm going to go with Cameron there.
You know, normally, I guess I might agree going against Jacksonville, but, you know, what Tennessee does against wide receivers, I think Fleener is going to be a big part of the Indy offense. I got to go Fleener in this situation.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Flieger on this one. Jordan Cameron, I don't want to be the guy that sits him in the final week of the regular fantasy season when he goes off for 7, 110, and 2. I don't see Fleener doing that. I can see Fleener scoring a touchdown, but I think Cameron's upside is just too much to get rid of. And Jacksonville's like top three worst against tight ends. So give me Cameron, and the machine says Cameron.
All right, so Kobe Fleener Island for
so
you.
So I am on Fleener. You know, that even sounds better than Geno Smith Island. So I'm not feeling...
Well, it sounds almost like Flieger Island,
I'm
if
not,
you think about
oh,
it. That
Lord.
Might be why it gives you the warm
hey,
and fuzzy.
Hey, can I change my choice, Scott, or do I have
nope,
to stay in
it? Too late. You are stuck on Rick Flieger Island
oh, Lord.
For the rare for at least one more week. All right, Scott.
With 6 foot Mike Glennon and Kobe Fleener and Rick Flieger with 6 foot six pale white guys on his island.
Now that sounds like a party if I've ever heard one. So Scott, we certainly appreciate it. Why don't you tell everybody one more time where they can find you?
You can find me at ScottFish24 on Twitter, at FFOasis on Twitter, and all my stuff's at FFOasis.com.
All right, so you're going to stick with us through the fantasy playoffs in the machine, I take it.
I will stick through as long until 2021 if you want me to.
Wow, there we go. It's great having you on here, and it's just a good time. And hopefully we are actually providing some sort of advice to the listeners and the writers. I mean, we must be doing something right.
I don't know about us.
Well, I don't know. Scott's been on islands, too.
That's true.
Yeah, Greg Jennings Island wasn't too fun last week.
That's true. It was pretty pathetic. But I was on Joik Bell Island, so there you have it.
All right, Scott. Well, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
Take care, Scott.
All right, Rick. Well, we have run it clear out of time again. I got buttons going everywhere here. Hey, if you have a chance, jump on to Fog. Let me get you the website there, Rick. Well, you know, you're going to have to listen to it. But Fox Sports Radio, FoxSports1360.com. I will be on at 11:40 in 10 short minutes. I will be on with our boy Dan
Claskins
on their fantasy show here this morning. Talk about a little bit about the effects of the calendar changing to December on your fantasy football team. So hit them up. Let them know you heard me there. If you just haven't got enough Rick Flieger, tune in to FoxSports1360.com and check that out.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, I won't have to do that because I'll be sitting here watching you doing it.
Well, that's
true. But I may tune in anyway just to listen.
Well, as well you should, because it will be.
I want to hear my buddy Dan instead of you. So.
Yeah, you can tune me out. So that's it. Thanks for tuning in this week. Good luck. Hope you all find your way into the fantasy playoffs. We will be back Tuesday night, 8 p.m. live on Blog Talk Radio, recording for the Armed Forces Radio Network. ArmedForcesRadioNetwork.co. Check that out. Should be approximately 4 p.m. Eastern. You can find our show from Tuesday. Check that out. And I think I misspoke, Rick. We'll be back Thursday at 8 o'clock.
Yes, we will. Thursday.
Not Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
Please join us.
So definitely check that out at the AFRN. Let them know you're here in the asylum there, and let them know you want them to keep it coming, because we want to keep them coming. So until Thursday, 8 p.m., we'll see you.
Take care.